I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry. That's the Diet Coke. I'm trying to get, I like, I have all this non-caffeine free Diet Coke now because of yesterday, and I'm like, well, I need the caffeine today, so I'm just gonna drink it. Anyway, how are you?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Blair.
And I'm Kirsten, and we are
Mediocre
Content. And how the are ya?
Don't speak to them like that.
I'm sorry. I just had to get it out. Is it goat? Is it dolphin? I don't know.
So if you haven't seen the episode of SpongeBob, you need to go do that. It's on YouTube somewhere, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Actually, I think SpongeBob is now, well, I don't know all of them, but I think SpongeBob's on like Hulu and Max now too.
Okay. Well then,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
Look at it there. But yeah, that's that's the best, like one of the best episodes.
Yeah,
it's the best.
It is.
Like, I don't know what to say.
It's literally, I've started following the SpongeBob TikTok account as well, and I know it's real because they're verified. But they have like the Doodle Bob series happening right now, and I think it's very funny.
Very nice.
Yeah,
I was watching. I think I was visiting Caroline and we were in a hotel room and there was like nothing else on. So we put
Why
on
not?
SpongeBob
Ugh.
And it was like the newer episodes that I've never seen before. And I hate to say it, but I don't know if I feel the same way
It's not the
towards
same.
them. It's not the same.
It's not. And they also have a show for Patrick exclusively as well now.
I saw that. Yeah.
It's okay.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I owe to have cable though. That's the only reason I like the hotels, because I have cable there and I can watch like HGTV as well.
Right. So it's fun. That's what we normally put on. Like when Chris and I go somewhere, we're like, okay, so what's on HGTV now?
Yeah. Oh, House Hunter is perfect.
Oh, perfect.
Get to watch people complain for 30 minutes.
Yeah. We also like Million Dollar Dream House because the host is so out of this world. And it's just like regular, like Jim and Joanna, like buying a house. And then the host is like covered in tattoos and like has this like beautiful outfit on. And I'm just like, this is the juxtaposition that I wanted.
He's got like the faux mink coat.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He drives me crazy. I don't know what it is. I think it's because on that show, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he like gets the listings from an agency and then shows them around and he's like, oh yeah, this is perfect. I'm like, I don't think, no.
Well, it's interesting. No. So like Chris, of course, being the person that he is, he needs to know.
Okay.
Like how the like House Hunters and like those shows work.
Oh yeah.
Because how can you have a market that's like you have to buy tomorrow and then you have to spend like a week looking at all these houses? So that we all know that I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for you. They all like buy the house ahead of time and then they go on the show and they like look at other houses as if they're going to pick a different one, but they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. That's how they make these shows.
Yeah, because I can't imagine how long in these, and that's why it's so weird, right? Because even House Hunters with this crazy market, and you're telling me, and some of the budgets, I mean, I know we make fun of them, where it's just like, I'm an underwater basket weaver, and I sell toenails on the side, and our budget is $1.5 million. Like,
who's your clientele for toenails?
Don't ask me questions. Don't ask me questions. That is personal income, okay?
I feel like I need to know who's buying toenails.
Well, you know who doesn't have any, so you also know the source at least. Spoiler alert, Tyler doesn't have toenails.
Tyler. We've outed him on the pod officially.
He'll be fine. So yeah, that's a special market, and DM me if you want more details. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I don't actually do that.
I mean, I'm sure Feet Finder is the gateway to that.
Truthfully, I've kind of thought about it because we could sell his toenailless toes for so much money. just put him behind a fluffy blanket. You know I have fluffy blankets.
I didn't even think about this, but you're so
there's got to be a market, right?
You're so
actually,
right.
DM me if you're a foot person and tell me if you'd prefer no toenails because I can set you up.
Wow.
Yeah, I've really thought about it.
That you're so right. You're so right. You could be a mat.
I know.
Like,
I could. You know what would be great? Okay, so I'm sorry. Okay. A tangent for
we're in. We're starting off with good energy, and I'm here for it. We're
gonna dip our toes into this. So I think what would be great is if I got like that body bronzer, like body highlighter, and just like did it over his nubs, and then just like put a little shine on the top, and put this. I have like a beautiful white blanket, and we'll just stick his little feeties together. Yeah. And maybe
add like a little toe ring.
Yeah, a little toe ring. And then for the videos, put a little ambiance music in the back. And well, it's just going to be great. I think that's the vision. Or it's the Dune one where it's like, it's just great. And we'll just do that.
I think that's great. Also, for those who need a visual, Tyler's feet look like, so first of all, he's ginger and pale. Second of all, you from a distance, it looks like he does have toenails because the spaces where his toenails are supposed to be are still indented.
Yeah.
So they're not, his toes aren't just like smooth and round. There is a place
I get
where
a smooth
toenail
brain. No ridges or lumps.
there is like a placeholder where you can put a toenail. Like you could still put like a press on there if you want.
That's what we should do. We can change them every week with new photos. This is a great business venture. I feel like you're my new manager. And you're gonna
I would love to manage the toenailless feet. Okay.
This could be great. There's got to be somebody who's into it.
That's amazing. But yes, so that's what Tyler's feet actually look like.
It's true.
In case you were curious, just so you know.
And also, I'll say something really unnerving because I know you guys like the Call the Medic podcast that we did, like one of the very first ones with Blair and Tyler talking about their nursing ventures. So if you're a little squeamish, you might just want to go forward. But the procedure to get such a thing done to you. And also a little bit of background. He did it because he's got a lot of ingrowns and it's really painful. And it wasn't like toe specific and he wears boots a lot. So he's just trying to, you know, he's like, I'm done. He got all 10 removed at the same time. And if you want to know if that's a good idea, it's not. And also if you want to know how it's done, essentially, they attempt to numb you, but if you're a ginger, that doesn't really work. And then they take actual pliers and rip your toenails out off your skin, and then they drip acid on your cuticle so that they don't grow back. And then and then you have to do foot salt baths for months. And a little ouchy boy dumbly did both feet at the same time and tried to walk up 3 flights of stairs because we lived in Florida at the time and it's really hot and sweaty and painful. And gross, by the way.
So yeah.
So this dolphins.
I don't know why I would ever want this done. And I feel I'm proud of Tyler for committing to the bit. Like
did.
I think that's a very harrowing feat to be like, okay,
harrowing
well,
feat.
Yeah. Yeah. To be like, I've decided I've had enough of my ingrown toenails and I'm just going to get rid of all of them. He's just hit the quit button.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's very brave, but
it's also very Tyler.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also very
Tyler. Yeah.
But Chris jokes all the time about how he doesn't have toes.
And he does indeed have toes.
And when we go to the beach, he's just like, how are you wearing sandals? I didn't think you had toes. And it's
Oh my God.
Shout out to Chris for thinking Tyler doesn't have toes.
Yeah. Even though he can like visually see.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The toes.
Mm-hmm. We've locked in to them. Yeah.
So for Chris, it's like, oh, well, you don't have toenails, so you don't have toes.
Yeah. That's,
which,
yeah.
I mean, that seems a little,
it's a big stretch.
Extreme. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Chris.
Yeah.
He's never here to defend himself either.
No. That's what makes this good, though.
We're talking to him in the future from afar.
Right.
Sorry. Love you. So disclaimer, this episode is not about toes.
Welcome to the podcast.
We start our intro over.
Before we get started officially, we are not experts on anything. That includes dolphins and toenails. If you come to the podcast to get any kind of advice, we are not the place to get that info. Especially, don't take this as a sign to get your toenails removed because
No,
nobody wants that.
we're not medical professionals. Well, one of us is.
Well, I am, but like
Yes.
not in the toenail realm. You
She
need to go
doesn't
to
do
a
toes.
real like doctor about that.
Yeah.
But if you want to learn about some things, you can stick around and we'll talk about dolphins and whatever Kirsten made the good news about.
That's true.
So, yeah. Go ahead, Kirsten.
Thanks. I've taken to naming these myself because I enjoy the names I come up with. So this one is called You Made Me Ink in Epic Proportions.
So it's
And
about squids.
it is about squids. And if you
Wow.
don't know that reference, then you should go back and watch Finding Nemo because it's so good.
It's so good.
So last year, a group of scientists attempted to capture footage of a colossal squid. And if you don't know a whole lot about these creatures, they're very elusive. They might as well be cryptids in some way because there's a lot of stories about the Kraken and stuff like that, which I think the Kraken might be a cryptid. I don't know if they've decided to
That
put
I
it in
think
that
that's
category.
correct. Yeah.
So it's kind of in that category. It is the largest invertebrate on Earth, and its natural habitat may have hooked their prize when one of their underwater cameras captured a juvenile glass squid that was swimming by. I don't know what a glass squid is, so look it up. Colossal squids are members of the glass squid family, and so they appear kind of transparent. Not that any eye has ever laid. Wait, why did they phrase it that way? Nobody's ever seen it. Day-to-day
Okay.
life is essentially. They're like, not that any eye has ever been laid. Who says that?
No one.
No one. However, in the high definition footage that they did capture, the vermilion tentacles, vermilion being like the orangey red color, and faint blue bioluminescence narrow down the list of potential species considerably because only a few of those fit in the category. And so in this kind of colossal squid sighting, it was 12 centimeters long. They considered it a juvenile, but because the expedition was privately funded, it gave the team immediate impetus to return to the Antarctic waters so that they could search for longer periods and in greater depths because they had already seen potentially one. The colossal expedition leader, Matthew Mulrennan, was working on the Antarctic tourist boat Ocean Endeavour, where 200 tourists shared quarters with him and his team between December 2022 and April 2023. And there was also a magazine called The Hakai that reported that the curiosity and support of the tourists was what was driving the team to continue to kind of monitor and send the vessels that they had down below to try and get more footage. In total, the biologist captured 62 hours of footage, broken up by the constant efforts to unsnag the camera lines, which is kind of annoying, but that's just being a scientist, unfortunately. And then pay dirt, which is a tiny candidate for their colossal squarry swarm by I don't there's like another glass squid called the Galathetis glacialis. So essentially it's like trying to weed out which one it isn't, is my understanding. So something like that. And then this is it's difficult to rely on previous information in other waters and like any squid or recoveries previous because there's like no bones or cartilage that kind of support the squid and it relies on the oceanic pressure. So even like finding them in different depths or finding them and harvesting them and having them around for long periods of time is almost impossible. So anyway, the point is they think they found one. And I feel like similar to Nessie and other cryptids, it's like once you find something that might be close, even in this juvenile range, they're like, it has to be there. And so they just like throw their whole investigations into trying to find it. So we'll see. Maybe they'll keep trying to find this one. Maybe they'll find a way to track it so that they can see how big it ends up getting after its juvenile phase. But it's kind of cool to see if maybe this is less myth than reality.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird things that you find in the ocean, if you haven't
Yes.
watched, I don't know if you watched John Oliver last week tonight.
Mm-mm.
So I watch his clips on YouTube and
Yes.
he did one about ocean mining the other day, which is super cool. I mean, he highlighted why it's probably terrible for us, but
yeah,
it was cool to know that this was like a thing because I didn't realize that was really like a huge deal. And the amount of open space in the Pacific Ocean is
haunting.
vast and haunting. And there's like so many, and this guy came on and was like, so basically every time we take a chunk or like a little bit of sand or sediment off of the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, like in the middle where nothing is, we find at least like 70 new species because there's like so many like bacteria and like, you know, microorganisms that live there that we have never seen before. And so anyway, just because you're talking about discovering new species, I was like, so there's a lot of new species in the ocean, as we know,
so
that we literally have no idea about.
And the thing too is like none of our technology can really get down there and be down there for long enough to see some of the stuff too. But also on a microscopic level, to his point, like bacteria and things like that, you would obviously never see that with a naked eye.
Correct.
So there's no other way to do it than to like drill down and find it.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep. It's crazy.
The ocean is both a beautiful and horrifying place.
I agree. I agree.
But another horrifying place these days, it seems, is the air. So the next part.
Great.
We're going straight from the ocean to the sky. It's great. I called this one the Dino Down Under. So we're in Australia. So
crikey.
Oh, geez. We're going to get canceled for that.
I know.
So there has been fossilized bones found in Australia that have now been identified as a new species of flying dinosaur, which is so fun.
It's great.
Great. I mean, great. It's extinct, if that's
yeah,
helpful.
Yeah, it's true.
A fearsome predator that lived around 100 million years ago and had a 15-foot wingspan. That's insane. The bones unearthed were in Western Queensland, and they were unearthed by creator Kevin Peterson in 2021. They've been found to belong to the newly identified species of pterosaur dubbed Heliskia petersinae, or Peterson's Phantom of the Sea. I don't know. Hopefully they'll explain why it's Phantom of the... This is the sky. All right. A research team was led by PhD student Adele Pentland of Curtin University, Australia, and they identified the specimen as a member of the group Ornithocaris. It's been a long time since I've had to say any of these words.
You know what? I honestly, I saw that word and I was like, onomatopoeia.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Ornithochiromorpha.
Beautiful.
And, thank you. Based on the shape of its skull, arrangement of teeth, and shape of the shoulder bone, which means nothing to the average person, but that's how they identify the species and tell them whether it's a new species or actually under a subspecies or another genus that's already exists. And this particular group was a group of these flying pterosaurs known to have lived all over the world. And it was included in England, Brazil, Morocco, China, Spain, and the United States. So not just Australia either. And this particular species joined several marine fossil species on display at the Kronosaurus Corner Museum in Queensland, where Peterson is still the curator. And they work at the public dig site near the town of Richmond Peterson, who saw the bones and knew they were pterosaur. And this is the quote that they said, specifically from the PhD student Pentland. They said, quote, "The specimen includes complete lower jaws, 43 teeth, vertebrae, ribs, bones from both wings and part of a leg. Also present are very thin and delicate throat bones, indicating a muscular tongue, which helped during feeding on fish and cephalopods." So Queensland was part of the shallow sea mentioned earlier, and Pentland said the area where it was found is renowned for these kind of fossil deposits.
Nice.
I think they, by marine, they probably found it in the water but it flies. So a lot of the times that happens because oceans rise and, you know, sink in different
areas.
Sorry. No. But it's true. So a lot of the times you'll find fossils in like weird places that might have been covered by water or are currently covered by water. And you're like, how did that happen? There's a whale in Utah. Or how did this happen? There's a bird in the water.
Like, well, you see what happened was.
So it's kind of cool. We're discovering new species all the time. And this is just another one. And it's extinct.
So,
sorry.
And today we are not going to be talking about a species that we had to find because dolphins are literally everywhere.
Live and well.
Live and well. there are a couple of species that are endangered, but we'll talk about that. But just to give you guys a brief scientific overview, we are going to be talking about dolphins, specifically the common bottlenose dolphin. So when you think of dolphins, this is the dolphin that we're talking about today.
Nice.
The scientific classification that I know you all deeply care about.
Biology students.
It is in the kingdom Animalia, the phylum Chordata, which is like literally almost everything.
Yes.
And then the class Mammalia, because it is a mammal. the order is the Cardodactyl. Dactyla, and family Delphinidae, genus Turisops, and the species is Truncatus.
Beautiful. So, nailed it.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
My Latin needs work, but that is neither here nor there.
You know what? We should have been forced to take a Latin class when we took biology.
I did take a Latin class.
I did it.
not in college, but I took two in high school because I got so bored of Spanish and
true. So I did French, honestly.
Yeah. Everybody I did 4 years of Spanish and then two semesters of Latin because I needed something. Yeah. And it was easy and fun.
That's what I'm saying, man. I did like German and Spanish and then I just took off with French between like high school and college. It's so much nicer. I don't know.
Anyway, neither of us know how to speak those languages.
Yeah, don't ask me now.
And one of the languages is dead. So here we are. So dolphin is any of the toothed whales. Yes, they are considered whales belonging to the mammal family Delphinidae, oceanic dolphins, as well as the families Plantisidae and Inidae. The two that contain river dolphins. Yes, there are river dolphins. We will not be speaking of the river dolphins today. Of the nearly 40 species of dolphins, there are six are commonly called whales, including the killer whale and pilot whales.
They fly.
We did talk. They do not fly.
Darn.
We did talk about those kinds of whales in our whales podcast, indeed, which you can listen to on YouTube, on Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. So anyway, the name dolphin is also applied to members of the fish genus Corphania. So bottlenose dolphins, or their scientific name, the Pterosops truncatus, most are small, measuring less than 3 meters, which is 10 feet for those of us in America. And have spindle-shaped bodies, beak-like snouts, and simple needle-like teeth. Some of these cetaceans are occasionally called porpoises, but scientists prefer to use this term as a common name for the six species of the family Phoconidae, all of which differ from dolphins in having blunt snouts and spade-like teeth. So porpoises are different.
Yeah.
They are different.
They are cute.
They are cute. And I do like porpoise as a word.
Yeah, it's very fun.
It's very fun. dolphins are particularly noted for their grace, intelligence, playfulness, and friendliness to humans. Don't be fooled. The most widely recognized species are the common and bottlenose dolphins. The bottlenose characterized by its built-in smile, which is
very accurate.
formed by the curvature of its mouth. It's similar to dogs. I feel like dogs sometimes have like a built-in smile.
Yeah.
It has become a familiar performer in oceanariums. It has also become the subject of scientific studies because of its intelligence and ability to communicate by using a range of sounds and ultrasonic pulses. It adapts to captivity better than the common dolphin, which is timid. And in addition, the bottlenose dolphin has the longest social memory of any non-human species. Several members of the species were able to recognize the unique whistles of individual dolphins once they associated that with that dolphin for at least 20 years after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're so smart.
I know. Bottlenose dolphins have demonstrated the ability to recognize their reflections in several experiments, which is very uncommon in the animal world. Suggesting, as you can tell by like the dog videos of them barking at themselves in the sliding
and the
glass
cats
door. Yeah.
As well, they get all poofy.
So that suggests a degree mm-hmm. of awareness that dolphins yeah. have, which is interesting.
Don't some birds do that? Like parrots?
Some birds do that. Yeah, monkeys yeah. do that.
Monkeys do that, yeah.
That capability has been observed only in higher primates and mm-hmm. a few other animal species. Mm-hmm. They're actually mammals, as we kind of talked about. They are not fish, even though they fish. Look like fish.
They do look like fish.
Dolphins can either live in freshwater or saltwater. Certain species, not right, dolphin, right, right. like not all dolphins are.
Right.
Just
right,
to
right.
clarify, some species live in saltwater, some in freshwater, but dolphins as a whole
yeah.
can live in either one. Distributed in marine environments worldwide, they range from equatorial to subpolar waters and also can be found in many major river systems. The common and bottlenose dolphin are widely distributed in warm and temperate seas. They are swift swimmers. The bottlenose dolphin can obtain speeds of nearly 30 kilometers per hour.
Jeez.
Or 18.5 miles per hour if you're in America. And that's specifically for like short bursts. They don't like
yeah.
cruise at 30 miles per hour.
Can you imagine?
And common dolphins are even faster. A number of species are attracted by moving ships and often accompany them, as if you've been in the water,
yeah.
if you live near water, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Leaping alongside and sometimes riding the waves. Some coastal species of oceanic dolphins spend considerable amounts of time in freshwater. Most river dolphins live in freshwater. That may be several thousand kilometers from the sea. Although some spend their lives in coastal waters, dolphins are social, gathering in schools from 5 to several thousand. All are carnivorous, feeding on fish, squid, and other invertebrates.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is like the basic overview of dolphins.
Nice.
Just to Very give cute. You guys a quick little summary
yeah.
of what we're dealing with here. Also, I was listening to... I think I saw a TikTok of a podcast that wasn't ours. And somebody was like really upset with dolphins because, or like how dolphins are depicted.
They had a personal beef with dolphins.
Right. Because like in drawings, you see dolphins and their fin, like their dorsal fin
mm-hmm.
is like close to their head and it looks cute. But in real life, the dorsal fin is actually way farther back.
Sure.
In life. And like, I didn't realize that was a thing that like animators did.
Sure.
But it's very interesting. I don't know why. Like,
I think they're cute no matter where it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Do I think they should be wearing it as a hat? Probably not.
But if you look at pictures of drawings of dolphins, the dorsal fin is almost always closer to their head than it actually is in real life.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway,
now I don't feel like I know what a dolphin looks like.
Yeah, you need to look it up right now. Everybody take a minute, Google dolphins on your phone.
Okay. All right. Well, you'd keep talking, then I'm going to look it up.
The Lisa Frank version of the dolphin is the cutest, in my opinion.
The rainbow version?
Yes, the rainbow version.
I just typed rainbow instead of dolphin.
You're welcome. All right. So common bottlenose dolphins. Are found throughout the world in both offshore and coastal waters, including harbors, bays, gulfs, and estuaries of temperate and tropical waters. They are one of the most well-studied marine animals, and they are easy to view in the wild because they live close to shore and they like people. But this puts the bottlenose dolphin at increased risk. So we're going to talk a little bit about how we can help to like conserve them and make sure that they stay around for many, many moons.
Okay. Jury's out on the paintings, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I feel like it's kind of a mixed bag.
Okay.
Cause I'm looking at the real dolphin on the left and it's kind of in the middle of their back. I would say between like tail and face, it's probably like smack dab in the middle. But I'm looking at clip art specifically because I feel like that's the closest to emojis I'm going to have.
Yeah.
Mixed bag. Some of them are a little bit closer, but a lot of them are kind of on point.
Oh, good.
Like right in the middle. Yeah. I mean, some of them, but like, yeah, weird debate.
Weird debate. I thought it was just like relevant.
Yeah, it's just so interesting. Up,
but I just thought that was like interesting.
So interesting. Okay. Well, whatever.
Anyway. So because bottlenose dolphins like people and live close to shore, that puts them at risk for like human related injury and death. Yeah. They're highly intelligent species that use sound for communication to hunt for food, which also means that like the sounds that we make in the water can kind of disrupt their ability to like know what's going on.
Yeah.
Bottlenose dolphins in the United States are not endangered or threatened under the Endangered Species Act, but they are protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. They're vulnerable to many stressors and threats, including disease, biotoxins, pollutions, habitat alteration, including freshwater incursions, vessel strikes, human feeding and activities. I don't know why they phrased it like that.
So
and activities causing harassment, interactions with commercial and recreational fishing, energy exploration and oil spills, and other types of human disturbance, such as underwater noise. So basically, we are the biggest threat.
We're the problem.
It's us. It's me. I am the problem.
It's me.
NOAA, which if you don't know, is like a governing body of like most waterways. NOAA fisheries help conserve bottlenose dolphins through collaborative management, integrated science, partnerships, and outreach. Our scientists use a variety of innovative techniques to study and protect and rescue bottlenose dolphins in distress. They facilitate collaborative approaches to better understand and reduce harmful effects of human activities on bottlenose dolphins and their habitat based on sound science, conservation, public input, and public outreach. So don't feel bad.
Yeah.
The dolphins are okay. They're very visible. They're very cute. People enjoy dolphins, and therefore it is very, I think it's fairly simple. I don't want to say it's easy, but it is not hard to get people to empathize for the dolphins. Okay.
It's when you've got like endangered cockroaches that you would have an issue.
Right. Or like this one bacteria that lives in the depths of the ocean. Like nobody's going to care about that.
No, because it's not as cute. No.
It's not as cute.
But it's just as important.
It's right. Totally. We are the world. This is our planet. I don't know.
That's a great segue. I love that.
All right. So population status. Like all marine mammals, bottlenose dolphins are protected under the MMPA, like we talked about. And the NOAA fisheries estimates population size for each population of bottlenose dolphins in the U.S. waters in stock assessment reports. Now, I don't know how much is in a stock. I don't really know how the unit of measurements that these are. It's really kind of weird in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But in all, 61 stocks of common bottlenose dolphins have been identified in U.S. waters. Population trends for many of the U.S. stocks are unknown. And 5 stocks along the Atlantic coast are considered depleted. So, take that information with what you will. I feel like the population is fine or it's not fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're doing well. It's just there's probably areas where there could be more dolphins that they're not seeing for a variety of reasons.
It's like we own a giant fish tank.
Right.
We're like, what's our stock like?
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird.
So behavior and diet. Bottlenose dolphins may travel alone or in groups. The groups often break apart and reform. And their travel is characterized by persistent movement in a consistent direction. Resting is often characterized by tight group formation, slow movement, and intervals of methodical breathing.
Laura, are you breathing?
Nobody gets that reference.
No.
It's fine. Social behavior includes breeding, playing, aggression, and gentle body contact. Did you hear the cat?
I do. Hello.
He's literally right here on the floor.
Okay, how come I can hear him now when he's like thousands of feet away? But like when you put him up to the mic, I can't hear anything.
I don't know.
Do you need something? Hi, honey.
He's sniffing the ground now. I don't know.
That's fair.
All right, moving on. Social behavior includes breeding, playing, aggression, and gentle body contact, such as rubbing. Cute.
Nice.
Calves maintain what is called the baby position while swimming. In this position, the calf has easy access to nursing and may gain benefits by reducing drag from swimming in its mom's slipstream. When in baby position, the mom surfaces first and the calf surfaces slightly after, just behind and to the side of its mother.
That's so cute.
I know. I didn't know they called it baby position.
Baby position. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Also, I don't think any of the stuff that I found paints dolphins as like angry, but I've also heard that they can be like,
sure,
really vicious.
I mean, they take down sharks is my understanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they also like play with their food, similar to how mm-hmm. like orcas play with their food. And yes. So nothing I found painted them in quite such negative light, but just know that that information is out there somewhere.
I mean, it's the animal kingdom, you know?
It is. Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So dolphins can thrive in many environments and feed on a variety of prey, such as fish, squid, crustaceans. And they use different techniques to pursue and capture prey, searching for food individually or cooperatively. For example, they work together to herd fish into groups and then take turns charging through the school of the fish. They may also trap schools of fish against sandbars and seawalls for an easy meal. Mm. They also use passive listening and or high frequency echolocation to locate prey.
Underwater bats.
Underwater bats. That's right. Instead of using their teeth to chew, dolphins usually grip with their teeth and then swallow the fish whole to avoid the spines on their throats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably fair. Have some pretty intense stomach acid too.
I was gonna say, really, yeah. If I try to do that, I'm just choking.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that as humans. We're not like, we can't just unhinge our jaw and like eat a whole fish.
Just can't be a snake for a second. Just detach.
I mean, I've seen some teenage boys eat some like intense food, but it's like, true.
Have you seen those like hot dog eating competitions?
Oh my God.
There might be some people.
Did you hear that the main guy for the hot dog eating contest?
Probably not.
I forget his name, but he like has won, and he's like a really popular professional eater. And apparently Nathan's Hot Dogs was like, nah, fam, you can't participate anymore because you decided to get sponsored by vegan hot dogs.
Nathan's taking it personally.
I know.
Hot dog like, drama. Guys,
people come to the hot dog competition hot for this guy.
Now they just shot themselves in the foot, really.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. I know. And poor it's guy. Coming up too. It's like the day after 4th of July or something.
Is it really?
Yeah, they do it in Coney Island.
I love that so much. How do you know so much about this?
I don't know.
I was just making a passive comment about trying to inhale a hot dog. She's over here like, let me give you the details. I feel like you need to know.
I don't know how I know this, but I
love
know
it. I love it.
Yeah.
No further questions.
Well, I think also when we were growing up, my dad would always be like, hey, the Nathan's hot dog competition is on TV today.
Don't blame
it's
your
like
dad.
Always the day after 4th of July, or it's on 4th of July, something like that.
Thanks, Dad. That's the most American thing to be around the 4th of July.
I know.
America at its peak.
It's perfect. Yeah. also, controversial take that I heard the other day.
Yes.
You know how in the hot dog eating contest, they like dunk the hot dog in water first?
I was going to say, how would I know? But I actually do know that.
I know you know that. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows.
So I feel like that's cheating. And I feel like
it's gross.
I feel like they shouldn't count it based on like how many hot dogs you dunk in water first. It should be like you just eat the hot dog like normal.
First of all, I don't want hot dog soup. I don't want some nasty soaking wet bun slapping the back of my throat the whole competition. Yeah, I know. It's kind of a weird, weird way to say it, but it's exactly what I imagine.
Yeah. It's
you.
Yeah. It's, I feel like that's cheating. Controversial take. I feel like the dunking of the hot dog in water is cheating and you should just eat it in bites like a regular human being and see how many people have the jaw strength to chew that fast. I think it should be more about that than like just swallowing the hot dog whole.
I agree. I would also like to say that as someone with a texture problem, that gets the ick so fast when it comes to eating. I feel like I would take one bite of that soggy dog and be like, oh, no, thank you.
Immediately throwing up.
Even if I thought I could eat it, I would just not.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's, it's not great. But I mean, this is just one woman's opinion. I don't know.
It's fine.
I'm not in charge. And apparently Nathan says something against vegan hot dogs, which is sad.
Whatever. I like hot dogs. Specifically, I like Nathan's hot dogs, actually. They're pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not, I used to be a hot dog girly. We used to have hot dogs like once a week at my house growing up.
Me too.
But I'm not a red meat girly anymore.
Yeah. I eat a lot of chicken. We eat fish.
Fish.
Yeah. I think I just don't normally have a lot of red meat to eat.
Yeah.
It's also expensive.
It's expensive. You know? I'm not like, I really don't, I'm not a meat person in general. I just don't.
It's okay.
It gives me the ick sometimes. I don't know.
I don't just go out and I'm like steak, you know?
Right.
I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind it.
This is probably unrelatable content, but like just can't sometimes. Like I can do chicken. I could do fish, but I'm just not.
Yeah. I could go a whole day without eating.
I don't crave steak. I'm sorry. I'm just not one of those people.
But kudos to those who are, you know, like I know plenty of people that can make a good steak. And every now and then I'll enjoy the occasional cheeseburger, but I prefer like turkey burgers or chicken burgers if I'm going to have a burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, dolphins be out here.
swallowing things whole.
Yeah.
Goals, honestly.
Yikes.
different topic for another day.
All right. Dolphins are found. We talked about this. In many different aquatic environments. Mm-hmm. They are found in the United States along the West Coast off of California, in the Hawaiian Islands, along the East Coast from Massachusetts to Florida. Literally anywhere there's a coastline in the United States, we got a dolphin hanging out there. So, lifespan and reproduction. Bottlenose dolphins can live at least 40 years, which honestly, in animal time, like that's an animal good. Lifespan, that's like pretty good.
Yeah.
With some females outliving males. Good for us.
Hair flip.
hair flip. Outliving males at 60 years or more.
Nice.
They generally begin to reproduce when they're between 5 and 15. With the exact age varying by population. Female bottlenose dolphins can reach sexual maturity before males. Females are pregnant for about 12 months, which is
horrifying.
Long.
That's a whole year.
That's a long time. Yeah. Mm. On average, every 3 to 6 years. So they can get pregnant every 3 to 6 years.
It's only one, right? They don't have litters. It's just one.
It's similar to whales, where I think it's very rare to have more than one.
Okay. No twins here for the most part.
Yeah. Once calves are born, they nurse for about 20 months, so almost 2 years, and generally stay with their mothers for 3 to 6 years. I think that's reasonable. Toddler dolphins. Females as old as 45 have given birth.
that's pretty good.
Nice job, Gear.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can live till 60, that kind of makes sense that they have like an extended reproductive time frame, and that they would start earlier. That also makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very, especially if you're only having one baby at a time. It's very advantageous.
So I'm not good with math, but if they have one every 3 to 6 years and their reproductive system is good between like 5 and 45, how many babies could they have in a lifespan?
What's 40 divided by 6?
Let me do math. Hold on. 40 divided by 6. They can have 6 to 7.
Yeah. Okay.
6 to 7 babies for their whole lifetime. Okay. Sure. If we didn't do that right, somebody else do math, because I hate it. So.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. I think. All right. So with that, we're going to go to the ad segment now, and we will talk about the threats to bottlenose dolphins in more extensive detail and some other stuff that I forgot.
Professionals.
Once we get back.
This ad is an actual ad. However, we will still not be benefiting from this. This is an ad for our Twitch stream. You can watch us do a live podcast every other Thursday. Come hang out and interact with us and maybe catch a Pokemon or two. And maybe, just maybe, learn something. But honestly, the chances are slim. Catch us on Twitch at 6 p.m. EST or 3 p.m. PST. Or a different time in a different time zone that is not in the United States.
We would love to chat with you, and definitely let us know if you are an OG audio listener. Now, back to the regular audio pre-recorded podcast. Cheers! Also, don't forget to rate us 5 stars. Okay, now back to the pod. Welcome back. I hope you had a lovely time on the break.
We just sit here and stare at each other during the break.
We do. It's our way of bonding.
It is.
As co-hosts.
Just stare into each other's eyes.
Via Zoom.
We look good. Yeah. Most days. Good thing it's not streamed every Sunday.
Oh my God. If it was streamed every Sunday, I mean, I would have to like get up early and like do things. And that's so annoying.
I would have to look presentable.
I know. I can't just roll. I literally rolled out of bed this morning and just sat here, had my coffee.
I spilled my coffee all over my white shirt, which is why I'm wearing this sweatshirt. Because I walked in to the waxer like this, and I went to the bathroom and I was like, oh my God.
What, you got a hole in your lip?
Oh my God. This is just another tangent, but it reminds me of, she's like, what's that smell? And Papa used to be like, is it your upper lip? And I was like, I guess maybe, actually. He might be on to something.
You're so right.
Thanks, Papa. So legit.
That's the best. I like
so stupid. It's so good. It was so fast. It was so good.
Anyway. It really gets me. All right. Okay. So, threats to bottlenose dolphins.
Oh, right. Dolphins.
It's mostly us. So, don't be surprised.
It's just us two.
just the two of us.
You and I.
No, but us in a human
species
capacity.
Indeed.
All right. So they have a lot of interactions with fishing gear, which is problematic. One of the main threats to bottlenose dolphins is getting caught in fishing gear. Dolphins can become entangled or captured in commercial fishing gear, such as gill nets, trawls, trap pots, and long lines. So that's fun. Mm-hmm. In addition to interactions with commercial fisheries, dolphins may become entangled in or ingest rod and reel gear used by recreational anglers or for hire fishing vessels, such as charter boats or head boats, which can lead to serious injury or mortality. And this problem is increasing, especially in the Southeast United States. and is largely a result of dolphins taking the bait and the catch directly from the fishing gear.
Great.
Eating discarded fish or being fed fish illegally by humans, rude of us, causing them to associate anglers with food, obviously. In addition, fishermen sometimes become frustrated when dolphins take their catch.
They're just trolling
them
now.
And can retaliate with violence towards dolphins. Which, if you're out here getting mad at dolphins for just trying to eat their food, I feel like you have bigger problems in your life.
I just think it's great that the dolphin's like, for me, you're giving this to me? And they're like,
you
no.
You caught this for me? That's so nice. Like,
no, gosh, dang it. This is the third one this week, John.
I know.
Poor dolphins, just have a snack.
I love that though. It's like similar to like how seals or otters will like steal things from boats. Like it's like that.
I'm taking this.
This is mine now.
Thanks so much.
Side note, I love the videos of seals like getting up on boats or getting getting up on like paddle boards or whatever and just be like, hey, we're hanging out now. I have commandeered this ship, it is mine.
This is my ship now. I am the captain.
I am the captain. All right. So habitat destruction is also a problem that dolphins face. Living near the shore, they're susceptible to habitat destruction by contaminants and oil spills. For example, in areas with high levels of PCBs or polychlorinated biphenyls, dolphin immune systems can be negatively affected. Dolphins in areas affected by the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill were found to have compromised immune systems and decreased reproductive success.
Oh.
In addition to chemical contamination, physical habitat alteration due to shoreline development and infrastructure problems, freshwater diversions, and increased boat traffic can also be a concern.
Yeah, especially if they like to ride the waves and stuff.
Yeah.
You've got a really active marina. I imagine they get smacked by the propellers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So be aware if you're a fisherman out on the water, be aware of the marine life around you.
Please.
I know y'all have the fancy little radar thing.
Yeah, it's not like you can't see them.
Yeah. All right. So biotoxins, we've kind of already touched on a little bit. So sometimes because of the extra nitrogen in the water from like runoff and fertilizer, it can cause algal blooms, which if there's a lot of algae in the water, it sucks out all of the oxygen in the water because the algae uses it to grow.
Yep.
And that's a problem for the fish because then they have nothing to breathe.
Because the mammals breathe oxygen like
correct.
You.
Correct. So several HABs or HAB, which is a harmful algal bloom, by the way, have been confirmed along the coast of Florida. If you're from Florida, you know this as like the red tide, I believe. And others were suspected elsewhere in the Gulf of Mexico. Dolphins can be exposed to harmful algal bloom toxins through the air or by eating contaminated prey. Biotoxin exposure can lead to both acute and more chronic health issues for dolphins.
So sad.
And dolphins, believe it or not, they don't have doctors. They can go and like check them out.
Yeah,
so they're kind of on their own.
And also it's like, it has to do with global warming, I believe, as well, because the algal blooms thrive really well in like humid, hot weather. Mm-hmm. Which if you know anything about Florida or the Gulf area, it's very prevalently kind of tropical-ish there. So
yeah.
That makes
typically
sense.
Yeah. And it's only getting hotter.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's also some illegal harassment and feeding activities, which we kind of already touched on. They're easy to view in the wild, but some people are treating this like SeaWorld, and it's not.
It is not. These are wild animals.
They are wild animals, even though they seem like they want to come say hi.
Yeah.
Ignore them. They don't need that. Bottlenose dolphins are easy to view in the wild, but it also puts them at increased risk feeding and attempting to feed dolphins is not only illegal under implementing regulations, but it is harmful because it changes their behaviors and reduces their wariness of people and vessels, which is why they're so easily trained for aquariums and stuff like that. Because, I mean, I think typically aquariums take dolphins that are previously hurt and stuff, but you get what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like they're easily manipulated by food.
Yeah, me
which,
too.
I mean, same.
Honestly, I could be there.
I think also people, like if you're one of those people, this is a hot, I don't know if it's a hot take, but I feel like it's a hot take. If you're one of those people who feeds seagulls and squirrels and stuff like that, no, don't do that. Don't be like that. It's awful. It's bad behavior. And that goes for any animal that's out in the wild. Okay.
Right.
If you want to put a bird feeder out, fine.
Sure.
But if you are sitting there on your back porch with a little like bowl of nuts trying to feed the squirrels in your yard, don't do that.
Because it goes both ways, right? Because like if you're trying to be nice because you're trying to feed the animals and like have that interaction with them, and that's nice and that's beautiful. Yeah. But the problem is the next person who isn't so into it, and then that animal ends up getting hurt because the person doesn't want to interact with them, or the animal becomes food aggressive because they've now been trained that it should come from this type of species.
Yeah.
So it's just to protect both species. Let them find it themselves.
Yeah. It's just, it's better if we look and don't interact. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
look and don't touch.
Be an introvert when it comes to animals.
Especially the wild ones.
Yes. Or get yourself a pet and you can do whatever you want with your pet. That's fine.
It's true. It's true.
Feed your pet. Do what you need to do.
Unless you're Puma, then go on a diet because too much.
Don't overly feed your pet.
I didn't hear it, but
the baby is back.
The baby said food.
Hi.
I know. He's really meowing like loud, but I'm sorry you guys can't hear it.
How did I hear him in the doorway?
I don't know.
He's right next to you now.
He's literally sitting right next to my chair.
I'm upset.
Looking up at me with screaming. And he's like screaming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that being said, don't feed the dolphins.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. Some interesting little paleontology fact, because everybody likes that.
My favorite.
Dolphins first appear as fossils in the early Miocene epoch, which is 23 million to 16 million years ago, a time when the cetacean fauna was more diverse. All of today's dolphin groups were present in the Miocene era, as were all at least three distinct families whose members could be called dolphins. Dolphins have been around for many, many moons.
Indeed.
And now we're going to move on to some fun facts. Some of these we've already kind of touched on, but I think it's just fun to do a little like top 10 roundup. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Dolphins can be found all over the world in different environments. We know this. There are 36 species of marine dolphins living in all aquatic environments. And temperatures ranging from 0 degrees Celsius to more than 30 degrees Celsius. number two, freshwater dolphins. The Amazon River is home to four species of river dolphins that can be found nowhere else on Earth.
Mm.
So that's cool.
That is cool.
Underwater noise pollution is a real problem. So marine traffic is amongst the most intense anywhere in the world, especially or in the British Isles, apparently.
Mm.
And noise pollution from naval activity and the oil, gas industry, seismic surveys, and underwater construction can stress or injure the dolphins and also severely interfere with their ability to communicate, reproduce, navigate, and find prey, sometimes proving fatal. Yeah. They'll starve to death. So I don't really know how to fix this problem necessarily.
That's a tough one.
But just be aware.
Yeah.
You know, think about the dolphins the next time you decide.
The other aquatic animals that use like echolocation and stuff too. Like whales.
Oh my God, I love whales.
Whales.
All right. We talked about this already. Dolphins can swim. Usually they travel at about 2 miles per hour when they're just cruising. Mm-hmm. However, they can reach speeds over 30 miles per hour for brief periods. So you best believe if you're being hunted by a dolphin, they're like the cheetahs of the sea. They will get you. Yeah. they swallow the fish head first when they eat. This is number five.
Like me with so the hot
fish,
dog.
The fish spines don't catch on their throat. Okay. Yep. Similar to the guys who eat the hot dogs. Mm-hmm. They like to blow bubbles. when dolphins produce bubbles to herd, when they hunt to herd their prey to the surface. They sometimes also use a hunting technique called fish whacking, where they use their tail to hit fish and so to stun them.
I told you,
they're like orcas. They like to play with their food.
I love that so much, actually.
The fish is like, oh my God, I have a concussion now.
Can you imagine just swimming by, minding your business, and this tail just smacks you in the face?
Jeez.
Swimming here.
Number seven. Dolphins are chatty animals. They have some of the most elaborate acoustic abilities in the animal kingdom. Jinx, you are in the way. One moment.
He's the most fearsome cat in the animal kingdom.
They make a variety of sounds, including whistles, clicks, squawks, squeaks, moans, barks, groans, and yelps. And beautiful. Those are all the scientific terms.
I was going to say, I make those just waking up in the morning.
All right. So dolphins are pretty intelligent like us. They are one of the few species that have the ability to recognize themselves. We talked about that. This is considered reflective of their intelligence. And dolphins also are among the few animals that have been documented using tools.
Hmm.
In Shark Bay in Western Australia, dolphins fit marine sponges over their beaks to protect them from sharp, harmful rocks as they forage for fish.
So cute. It's like they're putting gloves on.
That's right.
That's cute.
They can turn off half their brain, and honestly, I'm jealous.
Me too. Oh my God.
Bottlenose dolphins sleep with one half of their brain at a time, and they keep one eye open.
Actually, maybe I am that. Just most of the time, yeah. It's involuntary.
It's believed they do this to keep an eye out for their group, to make sure they stick together and look out for predators.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's like when horses sleep, only a few of them like lay down and the rest are standing up but on watch.
Right. Yeah. Typical for pack animals, I feel
mm-hmm,
like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So fishing gear number 10. The final one. Fishing gear is a major threat to dolphins. Bottlenose dolphins are one of the species most threatened by bycatch, which I believe is just a fancy term for like...
It's like accidental.
When you accidentally catch things that you're not supposed to. The World Wildlife Foundation and its partners are working with fisheries across the world to test and encourage the use of sustainable fishing gear. One solution is attaching acoustic alarms or pingers to fishing nets, which alert dolphins and fish that use echolocation like dolphins to the presence of the fishing gear to help them avoid it.
Do you think they would avoid it or like beeline towards it though?
Well, I think it depends on the pitch.
That's true. Okay.
Maybe like I imagine that if you make it annoying enough, they won't come. Nice. You know what I mean?
Or make biodegradable fishing nets as well, maybe. That would be kind of nice.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Because I understand.
But it still doesn't help
it.
Them not get caught though, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Good gracious. So, we are just a mess.
We literally are. The moral of the story is humans are the problem. Dolphins are cute.
Dolphins are cute, honestly. I've enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed the whale episode, truthfully. Because it's very fun. I think the animal episodes that we do, it's fun to hear the history. It's fun to hear how long they've been around. I feel like we don't really do a lot in the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think it's fun to just like, you know, because I grew up on the East Coast seeing dolphins every once in a while, every time we went to the beach. And so it's nice to know like the vibes that come with dolphins.
Dolphins are just a vibe.
Just a vibe. Yeah.
Well, if you enjoyed this episode, like I'm sure that you did, please give us a holler at our Gmail. Also, if you have episode topics, if there's other aquatic or other type topics you'd like us to touch on, feel free to let us know about that as well. You can do all of that at our Gmail, mediocrecontentpodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube, or of course, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts, if they allow comments. I don't know. Spotify doesn't. But that's fine. You can still contact us on any of those channels at the same handle, and also rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts. We genuinely appreciate it. I'm just going to say it one more time, at least one more episode. We're no longer on Twitch right now. We are on hiatus, but all of our previous episodes are still on YouTube. So if you want to check us out live for any of our previous streams, feel free to do that over there. And I guess we'll see you guys next week. I hope you have a good week.
Oh my gosh. Don't talk to them like that.
I will.
This has been Mediocre Content.
Thanks so much for listening. Cheers.
Cheers.